Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.
Inspiring interviews with today's top landlords.
This is the Rental Income Podcast.
And now, Dan Lane.
Stacey Murphy is joining me on the podcast today. She's coming to us from Durham, North Carolina. And Stacey has been buying historic properties that have been neglected and kind of run down. She's fixing them up and renting them out. Stacey, I want to figure out what you're doing and how you're doing this. But before we get into that, I always like to start with asking people how they got into real estate. So can you just tell us briefly how you got started?
Yeah, so I came to Durham working in a PhD in the sciences, and I'd been working both in kind of public health and in the pharmaceutical industry before getting into real estate. And I really love my hometown. And we had bought an old historic property in Durham to kind of fix up and live in as we were finished, my husband and I were finishing grad school. And that's where I kind of got the rehab historic preservation bug. And we did that for a while. And after we got married and had some kids, there was a property that came up for sale in our neighborhood that seemed like a really good deal at the time. And we had some extra cash that we could throw at it. So we decided to, we did kind of traditional funding, lending and to get a loan and purchase that home just as a turnkey rental property. And that was in 2009. And it worked out really great for us. It was relatively easy. It was a steady stream of income. And so, and then that's how it initially started.
And so that first property, it didn't need any work at all. It was ready to go the day you bought it?
Pretty much. It was a 1950s brick, three-bedroom, two-bath, really great rental, very close to the university here, and in a really nice, stable, historic neighborhood. And so the location was premium, and then just a real kind of just solid, steady 1950s brick rancher type property that's super easy to maintain and really easy to get really quality tenants in it. So, yeah.
That property sounds like it was kind of easy, and it kind of gave you the confidence then to buy more properties. Is that
exactly? Exactly.
So you didn't necessarily have plans of building a rental portfolio. Did it just kind of happen or was this kind of the plan?
No, this wasn't the plan. So what happened was while this was going on, my first husband was diagnosed with melanoma when he was pretty young. He was in his early 30s, and we had several young kids, and so it was an easy stream of income to have. When he was sick.
Sure.
And then unfortunately he passed away in 2011.
We thought
that things were going great with his treatment, and the disease progressed very quickly, and without much warning he passed away related to the cancer. And so we did have life insurance, and I was left with this big kind of like, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
And I had three young children. And so I did have this income coming in from the rental stream. I had equity in that house, and I had a modest life insurance policy cash payment that I would not have supported us for the rest of our lives. It probably would have lasted about 5 years. And so I had to figure out really quickly, what am I going to do with this? And what am I going to do with me? And what am I going to do with my time? And one of the things that I just threw a lot of soul search, and I realized I love renovating old homes. We had renovated a home in 1999 in a historic area in Durham, and then bought a second property in another historic neighborhood and renovated that for a personal use. And then the third property was that kind of 1950s rental property, which was not a historic property, but it was in a historic neighborhood. And this, of course, in 2011, we're still kind of feeling the effects of the real estate downturn. And in Durham was pretty much insulated from that overall downturn in the real estate market because our economy is based on mainly university and a big hospital system. We didn't face as much of a downturn as other areas had, but lending had gotten really, really tight. So being able to come in with cash in hand afforded me a lot of kind of power in sure. making deals. So I went down that path. And then the more I got into it, the next house I bought was in 2012. And that one was pretty much turnkey. It needed a little bit of paint and carpet, just some minor cosmetic fixes. And then I just caught the bug and started buying houses that needed more and more work to kind of get them up and going.
Well, first of all, Stacey, I'm really sorry about your husband. That is just a tragic thing. But it seems like you really found a great path, and maybe that kind of gave you the push to figure something else out. But I'm really happy to hear that there was some good that came of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it was heartbreaking and it was difficult with small children, but I'm so thankful that we sat down, as a husband and wife and had those conversations of, you know, getting a reasonable life insurance policy and, you know, getting equity in our own home and all those kind of responsible financial decisions, you know, that we sat down and made and sacrificed for, because it gave me the flexibility to be able to do this.
Right. Right. Yeah. And that's really great. So now, I guess after those first couple of properties, you got the confidence then to get into bigger projects. So you were buying houses that basically needed to be gutted.
Yes. So then it happened where 2.5 years ago, I owned a couple rental properties, and a friend of mine approached me, knew that I liked historic properties and that I was trying to buy, and I was interested in the downtown Durham area, which is experiencing a huge revitalization and kind of urban renewal growth. And the friend of mine, it was a friend of a friend who had gotten into some kind of personal trouble. They had a handicapped child, or they had elderly parents, and they just needed to leave the state and go somewhere else. And they had bought a rental property, a big fixer-upper, several years ago that they were just over their head. It was boarded up windows. It had been vandalized several times, and it had just stagnated. And it became kind of the monkey on their back. And so it never hit MLS. They said, basically, would you be willing to just take this off their hands? And so it was a cash offer. It was, I picked up that house for like $25,000 cash as is. And it was a 1920s three-bedroom bungalow right in downtown Durham. It had really great bones, 10-foot ceilings, and hardwood floors and three fireplaces throughout and a lot of charm. But it had been occupied by drug users and squatters. All the metal had been gutted out of the house. And every surface just was either covered in cockroach poop or human feces or just trash.
Wow.
So
That sounds like a huge project. How much did it cost to get that place rent ready?
So in some ways it made it easier because, you know, if there's no pipes and there's no wires, it's pretty easy. You're going to do a complete from the curb to every fixture, completely new electrical, completely new plumbing. And the HVAC system had actually been moved off site once the vandalism had occurred and only needed a little bit of repairs, but it was being held by an HVAC contractor. And so, and then all surfaces needed to be kind of scrubbed down, clean, repainted, or sanded and refinished. And we were able to do it for $25,000.
Wow. That's incredible. So yeah. All in, so you bought the property for 25, you put 25 into it. So you're all in at 50,000?
Yeah, probably more like 30,000 when you add in okay. all the extras okay. and stuff like that. So yeah. So yeah. So 55 okay. for that one.
Did you run into any issues that you weren't counting on, or was everything so bad that really that there wasn't anything unexpected that could come up?
I think the only thing that was unexpected was, we completed it in 3 months' time, and I think it was eye-opening to see how much sweat equity it was. This was my full-time job, 50 hours a week for that three-month period. There was a lot of sweat equity. I didn't feel comfortable asking someone to clean cockroach poop off the right. walls. So I spent a lot of hours, working with I had some guys alongside of me that I'd hired, to just do painting or do some, heavy labor type stuff. In addition to any of the electrical or plumbing, I used licensed contractors okay. for that, of course. But yeah, it was a lot of hours scrubbing cockroach poop off the walls. So, wow. yeah, I had this vision that I would just a little bleach on a sponge or a mop and I could wash the walls. And it turns out it takes a lot of elbow grease wow. to get that off.
Well, I guess the good thing with having a house totally rehabbed is that you really shouldn't have any work to do. Have any maintenance issues come up since you've rehabbed that property?
There were. It turned out after the fact that I was getting, there's a crawl space. I was having a little bit of water drainage issues underneath there. And so a year and a half into it, I went back in and had some waterproofing work okay. done, but not too bad. I mean, okay. It was probably an extra $3,000.
And what do you have that property rented out for?
So that property, it was tough 2 years ago to get that property rented. It took a lot of people and some of it was a little bit brave because when you stood on the front porch of that property in view, there were five houses that were boarded up at the time or in some wow. level of abandonment. But I knew that one block away, it was nothing but construction vehicles and that whole block was being rehabbed. So I knew it was coming. And so I got a great tenant in there, right off the bat who, was kind of an alternative guy and kind of a brave guy and a really handy guy. And he was really laid back and he was perfect and took fantastic care of the property for 2 years. And so then when it went back on the market, just this past summer, I had 35 calls right away wow. to come see the property.
And that was because the neighborhood had turned over. Those boarded up properties weren't boarded up anymore. And the neighborhood was coming back to life.
That's right. So all the boarded up properties went away. So the scariest kind of Halloween house looking boarded up property, it burnt down in the middle of the night in January, which I think was probably homeless people building a fire.
Yeah.
So that one went away. Two of the properties were acquired by Habitat for Humanity and flipped over in short time and occupied by very stable, great owner occupied individuals. And then the one kind of property that was holding it back was there was a similar bungalow that was right next door. And I did a lot of legwork on that property to figure out either I needed to motivate the owner to fix it up or I needed to motivate the owner to sell it. Mm-hmm. And through, he was a really difficult personality, but through a lot of communication, I convinced him to sell the property to me because it was clear he wasn't going to do any work on it.
Oh, wow.
And, Yeah. So I bought the house next door, and so then I fixed that one up under historic preservation tax credits, and that was now occupied also. So now my rents on that block, I'm getting $1,350 for one of the properties and $1,500 for the other property.
Wow. So you're all in at $55,000 for that first rehab.
Mm-hmm.
And is that the $1,350?
Yes.
Wow. So $55,000 and you're making $1,350 a month. That is a excellent return. Congratulations. That's
thanks,
really good.
Thanks.
And now tell me about the tax credit. What's the historic tax credit you're getting?
So there's a federal historic tax credit. It's run by the Department of Interior, and the National Park Service is kind of the division of government that they put it under. And then there's also a state tax credit. And I'm in the state of North Carolina. I don't know the rules for the other states, but the tax credits, the historic tax credits went away in 2014 and 15, but then they were so popular that they got reinstated for starting the beginning of 2016. And some of the rules have changed somewhat, and the state rules are going to vary from state to state. So it's one of these items that you really would need to kind of figure out who your local state preservation office is, and get a contact there and get information from your local state office. But for my situation, because this was going to be an income producing property, one of the main rules is that it has to be in a historic area. And so these two properties are both in a designated historic district. And as long as you kind of meet all these benchmarks, at the end of the day, you can reclaim, you get a federal tax credit on 20% of the amount of money you spend on improvements on the house.
Okay.
So, for example, so for that second house that I bought in that historic neighborhood, I purchased that house for $32,000. I ended up putting in about $70,000 in repairs. I don't get to claim any site work on the property, so landscaping or grading doesn't factor into that. But of that $70,000, I will get to claim 20% of that as a federal tax credit, and I get to spread that out over 10 years.
That is really incredible. Wow. So your returns are even better because
yes.
you've got actual less money in the property. Now,
yes.
Tell me
and
this.
And then the state credit is 15% on top of that. So just to work out the numbers, so for that property, I'm in for about $100,000. I did $70,000 of that was in rehab cost. So for the federal tax credit, I will get credit off of my taxes over the next 10 years, totaling about $14,000 back in my pocket. And then for the 15% state tax credit on top of that, that ends up being about $10,500. So I've put $70,000 in improvements. Over the next 10 years, I will be able to get $24,500 back cash in my pocket.
That is really incredible. And a good heads up for anyone that's maybe looking in historic areas to check that out, because that could be a really, really great bonus. Now, after doing the rehabs and your first couple of properties didn't need much work, if you were to buy another property, would you want to buy one that was ready to go, or do you like doing the rehabs?
I like doing the rehabs, but it's always time and money, right? So, you know, how much time do you have? How much money do you have? And so far, and also I always run numbers two ways on the properties when I'm looking at investment properties. I look at the immediate return on investment and how much is it going to cost me to get the property up so that I can rent it. And then what is my monthly rent going to be on that? And what am I going to make on an annualized basis, mm-hmm. just based on rent? And so there's that number. And then I look at the resale value also. And so for the historic preservation credits, you do have to hold the property for 5 years.
Okay.
So for these two properties, at the time I bought the first one 2.5 years ago, it was a really bad corner. If you stood on the corner, I mean, people are like, why are you buying in that neighborhood? Like, you're crazy. And I knew it was coming. I knew that there was so much growth and development happening in the downtown city center that if you just looked at a map, by necessity, it would spread to this historic area. And it was only a block or two away. And so I just thought there's no way. These are great houses. They have great bones. As soon as a certain number of these houses flip, they're all going to get taken and
right.
gone. And right. so I don't mind holding for 5 years because, you know, the price has already just really skyrocketed on that block. And I think it's just going to continue going.
Right. Well, we are just about out of time, but I do have one final question for you. Now, one of your properties is a duplex, and a lot of investors either love multifamily properties or they love single families. But having owned both, is one better than the other?
That is a tough question. And I have mixed feelings about the duplex. One thing I like about the duplex is that with other properties, it's either all rented or, you know, it's either rented or it's not rented. And that income stream is either happening or it's not happening. Mm-hmm. With the duplex, I'm actually in the process of renovating my duplex right now. And so I have it half occupied and I'm doing rehab on the other side. And that's been a great benefit because I feel like it's tenant occupied. So I feel like it's a safer property during mm-hmm. rehab. I don't
right.
worry about power tools getting stolen or anything like that. I have a fantastic relationship with the tenant that's there now. It's a single male. So if a contractor is going to show up early and I can't get there to unlock the place, he's more than happy to unlock it
right.
Or lock it up if someone's staying late. And so that's great. The problem with the duplex is when screening tenants, I always feel like you have to be conscious of that one additional variable of who do you have next door and that you're going to have people that are very close neighbors. And so it's kind of a tightrope balancing act because the Fair Housing Act, there are certain questions that you can't ask. Like you can't ask about family status or children or anything like that. However, you know, it is a concern if, you know, I don't want to put in someone that's going to be noisy. And so, you know, that's something that always can cause problems if you have, and it's stuff that you can't really screen for
right.
exactly. If someone ends up being like to listen to their music really loud or, you know, a couple has a baby and the baby's, screaming in the middle of the night. It can lead to complications and problems that you don't have in single
yeah,
family dwellings.
Right.
And,
yeah. So there definitely are some pluses and minuses. You know, definitely. One thing I like about duplex is that if one side goes empty, you still have rent coming in from the other side. You just have one mortgage payment for two units, one tax bill, one insurance bill. So I guess it's something people need to decide what's best for them. Well, Stacy, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. And thank you for listening. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.
Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.